Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and today our guest is Sandy Bacino, who's the outreach coordinator for Young at Heart. Young at Heart's located on Route 47, north of Huntley and south of Woodstock. Sandy, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, tell us what's going on at Young at Heart.
So much is going on at Young at Heart. Actually, this morning, a new a big rescue is going on. So our director, our assistant director, and one of our fabulous volunteers that does our videography at our big events, they're heading down to one of our partnering shelters down in Indiana and bringing back at least five, if not maybe more, animals. The shelter is at capacity, if not beyond, and so we're doing our part to try to save some senior cats today. So that's one big thing going on. As we speak, they're there. And so we're also gearing up. We have an on-site veterinary clinic at Young at Heart. And so across the parking lot from our adoption center is a full veterinary clinic that has been years in the making, and we are officially open. We have a veterinarian and a vet tech, and it has been a game changer for our senior pets. Now, instead of having to hop in a van and drive to one of our partnering veterinarians that we had worked with, which might take a half a day, if not more, we can just walk them right across the parking lot. They can have their checkups and their dentals if need be, and any kind of procedures done. So we're so grateful for that.
And I would assume the funding to keep that veterinary clinic going and the salary for that individual is all through fundraising, correct?
Exactly. Yep. We've been really working hard on that and securing the funds so that we can, again, yeah, like you said, employ the veterinarian. She is moving into full time, and so to raise money for that as well as all the equipment needed. And so we're doing pretty good fully equipping the vet clinic. We still have other things on the list. And so we've got a couple of events coming up that we're raising funds for to help, you know, fund that.
So how far along is the clinic right now as far as equipment and what you have now, but in addition, what you still need?
Yeah, we can do initial checkups, so to speak. So a full senior workup, which would be an exam, blood work, checking for any kind of lumps and bumps, things like that. And then we can do ultrasound, we can do x-ray, and general surgeries. What we're hoping to raise funds for to bring in is some work arthritic kind of equipment, so like an underwater treadmill. So that'll be kind of cool for us. We do have cold laser therapy, so that's been working, and that's helping for some of these older dogs and cats that have mobility issues and arthritis, but having that water therapy is going to be great. So yes, we're currently raising funds for that. That might take us a little bit of time.
I'm not sure if a lot of people are aware of the water therapy. Can you explain that and how that works?
Yeah, well, for some places offer pools just for animals where there's a therapist inside the pool, and a dog can be brought to this facility and basically just swimming because they're not having to have any impact. So they're completely buoyant and they have better mobility underwater than they would on land. And so kind of like a human that might do water aerobics, you know, that might have a bad hip or a bum knee or something like that. You can move pretty freely in the water and use resistance. So there's a strength component there, and they can work a little bit easier. So we'll be able to have that in our clinic and be able to do that on site.
Well, that's great. Besides the cats that are coming, the new arrivals, do you have new arrivals in the dog category?
Today, probably not, unless there's somebody that sneaks in the rescue van. But our latest a dog arrival is a sweet 7-year-old pity. His name is Jude, and he came to us not in the best shape, but he is definitely getting better. He had some skin issues, so he gets medicated bubble baths, and he is now cleared to move up to the rest of the animals up in our cageless dog room, and so he's doing great, and volunteers love him, and of course he loves the volunteers.
So now, is there a jealousy factor? He's getting bubble baths. I mean, the other dog's kind of looking, hey, what's going on there?
Hey, when is it my turn? Right. Actually, we make sure that each dog gets, you know, they're all groomed. If we have grooming, that's inside the facility, so each dog has their own spa day.
You know what? Let's talk a little bit about the dogs that are there and the cats that are there, so people have an understanding of what you have right now on the property.
For number-wise, without stopping and counting on all my fingers, we have about the same, maybe about 18 cats, and the same for dogs. There are a few in foster homes, but that's what's going on there. There's two cageless cat rooms, and so we have six in one, I believe, five in the other right now. But there are also private suites, which are our offices, for the cats that might not be best in an environment with other kitties. So they get to live in our office or in a quiet room, still getting all the attention from volunteers and staff. And then for dogs, we have three cageless dog rooms. One we call the junior dog den, but we call it the littles because it seems like all the little dogs have, you know, found their space in there. And so we have two chihuahuas who are bonded in there, another bonded pair. One is a pug and one is a Boston Terrier. And then there's a little white fluffy terrier. His name is Noah, and he's in there as well. And then we have a middle room that's the main dog den. We've got four larger size dogs in there. And then another room with four larger dogs. And so we have a house dog. His name's Champ. So he's kind of the greeter. He says hi to everybody who comes in, makes volunteers feel welcome.
And what breed is Champ?
Champ is a shepherd-y kind of mix. So he's, well, we'd like to call him Heinz 57, but yeah.
Okay.
Kind of looks more like a German Shepherd mix.
So what determines the ones that are caged, the ones that are not caged at the facility?
Well, we don't have cages in the facility. So our rooms, when you walk in, if you can close your eyes and picture walking into your living room, you walk into the dog room and there's a couch and a chair and an ottoman and dog beds on the floor, and that's where they live. We do have acclimation pens in some of the rooms, and this is for those dogs that might just be introduced, like Jude, I told you about, that was welcomed upstairs to meet his new roommates. And we do that, of course, very carefully and slowly. And he was in a pen for a day or two so the dogs could get to know him in a safe way. And now they're all mingling and free in the room. So same thing with the littles. There might be an acclimation pen where a dog might go when they're eating because maybe we're not sure how they are around other dogs, or when they need to sleep, or if they've had a procedure at the vet and they need to have a quiet space. So
how do you determine when that dog is ready to come from that pen to be in the population with the rest of the dogs?
First of all, when they first come to Young at Heart, they're in our isolation area. So this is a separate area from the rest of the building that has its own everything, its own grooming, its own kitchen, its own laundry. And after the dog or cat's been approved by our vet, they've been medically cleared, they move upstairs. So that's in our lower level.
Okay.
They move upstairs. If it's a dog, they get introduced to the room that we feel is going to be best for them outside, usually in between a fence. So they're introduced with the main room already being outside and then this dog coming up. Or they go for a walk on the trails with the rest of the dogs. And they're all together smelling the same thing, and that can be very successful. And then they're introduced on a leash outside, and then it becomes off leash. Now this can take more than one day to do. It all depends on how everybody gets along. And then in the room, it can be an immediate where everybody's getting along and they're friends, or there could be a little similar to roommates or brothers and sisters, a little snarking going on.
Okay.
And if there's a little bit of that, we know, okay, well, it was a good intro outside, but inside we need to just be safe. So that dog will be in a pen. I wouldn't call it a crate because it's quite large, so that they can then acclimate safely. And then after a couple of days of continued meetings, dog walks, then they're open to be with the rest of the group.
Do you go through the same process with the cats?
Yes, except for any meeting outside. So the we do have a catio, though. So outside of
a
each
catio.
Cat room,
okay,
yes,
all
a
right.
Patio for cats. I highly recommend it if you've got cats. It's two areas outside our cat rooms that are fully enclosed, kind of like at a zoo where there's an indoor-outdoor. And we open it on beautiful days, and of course, in bad weather, it's closed. But when a cat is cleared and moves up to be with the cats in the cat room, they start in what we call the cat condo, which is a small room. I'd call it kind of the size of a larger closet, but again, there's a grate or a screen, you know, like an enclosure so that they can see the other cats and they can see them without any risk of fighting if they don't get
sure.
along. But then again, once they're in that little condo for a couple of days, they smell, they see, they observe. We let them out with staff in the room, making sure everybody gets along. And if they don't, again, we just do it a little bit at a time because you want to keep the stress level as low as possible. So they have a lot to do because sometimes a new cat comes in that's a new personality, and it takes a while. So we're patient with them.
Boy, it sounds like being at the Hilton Hotel here. Wow, holy mackerel! That's really something. How about upcoming events, Sandy?
Upcoming events, our biggest one that we are so excited for. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's called Silver Paws. And it is our gala. There are tickets still available for those of you who are listening. We have it this year. It's at Pinstripes in South Barrington. So it's at the Arboretum. It's a really nice facility, Pinstripes. It's in a separate area. It's enclosed. It's outdoors, but it has cover. So even if the weather's not so good, everybody will still be okay. It's a live auction, silent auction, dinner, full bar. Our senior dogs are going to be there. So as our guests are there having a delicious dinner, which will be a huge buffet menu, they'll be able to mingle with the animals as they're bidding on silent auction items. They can have a senior dog by their side, encouraging them to bid more. And then we'll have a band. We have actually Brian Kovacs, a one person. He's going to be playing guitar. It'll go perfect with our theme. So our theme is a campfire theme. So our Silver Paws theme is saving s'more senior pets, like the sweet treat.
Okay.
S'mores.
All right.
So very casual theme, not a stuffy gala like people that would go to galas would be used to. So it's very casual, and we will have a campfire there. We're going to tell campfire stories of some of our senior animals so people can get to know them. And there are tickets available if people want to go. Our website is adoptaseniorpet.com, and it's on our events page.
So when the senior dogs are there, how do you control them? Are they on leashes, or how does that work that they're there and then they stay where they're supposed to stay and they don't wander off?
Yeah, so we have our volunteers are going to be at the event. It's a huge event that volunteers are integral in making happen, and they are our dog chaperones. So each senior there will have one volunteer or more as a chaperone, and they're all on a leash, a short leash, and a harness. The littler dogs, maybe the ones with a few more issues, arthritic issues, they will arrive in a stroller.
Okay.
And so they can have a little bit of walking time, but then they can be in a wagon or a stroller so they can still mingle and not have to be on their feet all evening. Pinstripes is great that we have a room that they can go and rest if they need to as well. So,
just a reminder, everybody, you're listening to Huntley Radio, 101.5 FM. Topic here is the Young at Heart organization on Route 47. If you want more information, go to huntleyradio.com and contact us. Click on that, and we'll be happy to answer your questions and look forward to hearing from you. Once again, 101.5 FM, WHRULP. We are speaking to Sandy Bacino, Outreach Coordinator for Young at Heart. Sandy, those dogs are going to be at the event. What types and varieties will it be? Can you give an idea of what breeds they might be there?
It's usually a game week, game day decision based on what dogs are still in the building. So we did have actually three adoptions last week. So three of our smaller dogs were adopted. So it always depends on who is at the adoption center and who is a good fit for an event like that. But
that's a good question,
yeah.
The adoption. So let's touch on that for a minute.
Sure.
So are you going to adopt a dog or a cat? What is that process you have to go through?
To adopt a dog or a cat starts with filling out an application. So if a person is on our website and they go to our Adopt a Pet page, you can click on every dog and every cat that's available. A little picture of the dog or cat is there, their age, a little bit about their story, their biography, and then you can click on it and start to fill out an application.
Okay.
Once the application's approved, then the person would be contacted to come in and have a meet and greet. Now, if the dog or cat does not have to get along or meet another animal, it might be where the adopter comes to our adoption center and then meets the cat or dog they're interested in and takes them home right away. Usually with dogs, if they have to get along with another dog that's at home, we encourage the person to bring that dog in. And we do a meet and greet usually outdoors first and then maybe down in our family room and making sure everyone gets along. And then if it's a good fit, they will go home that day.
So how do you screen the people who are coming in to make sure that they're going to be a good fit? Because someone might say, well, I want to adopt a dog or
right.
a cat or whatever, but you have to be sure that they're going to be dependable too and take care of that animal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it starts when our adoption team looks at an application and to make sure that the dog or cat that they're interested in is a good fit for them. So, for example, if they're interested in a dog that's got severe arthritis and they live in a three-story, house or they live in a high-rise, even though, they really want that dog, the dog is not going to be the best fit for where they live. Another one might be if it's a dog with a ton of energy, like Jude, who I mentioned, our young pity, he would need a house with a yard. And so if someone lives in an apartment and no yard, that might not be a good fit. So we're looking at the housing as well as the temperament, this kind of thing. We make sure that the vet reference is fantastic. So to make sure that this person has cared for previous pets in a favorable way. So we'll help the adopter make the right choice, and hopefully it's the choice that the adopter wanted, but people are thankful to us for that we have the best interest of our animals in mind and wanting to make sure it's a good fit. Because
well,
it's supposed
sure.
to be forever, right?
Right, and you don't want to have someone adopt a dog that's going to be abusive to the animal. You want someone who's going to love and care for that animal, too, because they're up in age. It's something that you want to be safe about
mm-hmm.
and be careful about. So when the public is notified about what you're doing, things you're doing, how can they support your organization?
One of the big ways is to learn more about what it is that the person can help with. So for some people, they say, gosh, I wish I could help. I'm not doing well financially. I don't really have any money. But word of mouth, sharing our events and promoting by using social media, if that is what a person can do. Sharing our events, sharing our fundraisers is big. Adopting an animal. So if someone is in the market for a new pet to be able to adopt or encourage their friends or family to adopt versus to shop. And volunteer. So we are a hugely volunteer-run facility. Yes, we have staff caring for the animals, but our volunteers take care of so much. So maybe a person can volunteer their time as opposed to maybe giving a lot financially. So we do have volunteer opportunities, and that's on our website as well. And then to attend. So we do have some events that are absolutely free that people can attend and meet our senior dogs and usually not cats, events that they can attend. We have events at the facility as well, a catio cafe, and the public can come in and meet our kitties that way. So those would be ways to encourage people to get involved. But donations are what it's what allowed us to build our building. So being a foster-based organization for 18 years, It is the generosity of the public and our donors that allowed us to build our facility, which has been open now for 3 years. So any donation from the littlest to the largest helps us to stay open, helps to keep our animals, you know, healthy, and for us to be able to grow so that we can save more animals.
Well, now with an on-site vet at your location, what type of budget are you looking at for your organization on an annual basis? I would imagine that's going to be a significant number now, besides salaries that you have to pay for individuals that are working there.
A budget for the salary of the vet and the vet tech? Yeah, so we are definitely, that is part of fundraising. And so we're lucky enough to have received a grant to be able to take care of the salary of our vet for the short term. And our goal is just to continue fundraising to be able to keep that going. And again, for the equipment that we need, the more funds that we get, the more we can keep up with state-of-the-art equipment and giving our animals the best chance at recovering from something that they might have when they've been rescued. And a lot of palliative care, our sanctuary program is something that will be helped by all these donations as well, because Young at Heart cares for those animals for the rest of their life. They might have a disease or a condition that's too much for a traditional adopter to take on. And so whether it's cancer or something else that requires a lot of treatment, Young at Heart takes care of all of that.
How many animals right now are in that program, the sanctuary program, Sandy?
We probably have a half a dozen at this point in our sanctuary program. Some of them are in foster homes as well. So at our adoption center, we have a bonded pair of brothers that are sanctuary dogs, and they are living their best life ever in our facility at Young at Heart. We have another one that comes and stays a couple days a week, but is cared for by one of our awesome staff members and her husband, who's a volunteer. And then there are a couple of our foster homes that have animals that are sanctuary that are dealing with some conditions where it's a little bit maybe more stressful for them to live in an environment with a lot of other animals like is in our adoption center. So they're in a quiet, loving foster home.
You have to have a big heart, because I know my entire life we've had animals, and when you lose an animal, it's like losing a member of the family. So if you have a sanctuary animal, it's very difficult, and you have to give those people a lot of acknowledgement for the courage of taking care of an animal like that, because that's very, very difficult. And it's heartbreaking.
It is.
Because it's still part of the family, so it makes it difficult. The events you have throughout the year, would you say they're quarterly fundraising events throughout the year, or are they just annual?
We're fundraising 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No, always thinking of how we can put our reach out there to get more supporters. But on an annual basis, the Silver Paws event, that's on September 24th, that's the biggest fundraiser of the year. So that's annually. We only do that once a year. Staff and volunteers are probably grateful for that, because it takes a lot to put that thing on. But that is annual. We are still, by the way, I'll put in a little plug, any business out there that wants to support Young at Heart in a big way, I know our event is less than a month away, but we are still looking for sponsorships. So you can always reach out if you wanted to get behind us that way. We have events that our local partners put on for us. So Public House down on the Woodstock Square does a paws on the patio for us. That's once a month that people can come to. The Arboretum of South Barrington puts on every Wednesday night a concert, and we are invited every Wednesday night, so that's a great way to get out there and meet the community and the supporters. We have events that are in the neighborhoods will invite us to do adoption events, so different high-end dog store, food and supply stores will invite us. We will host our own events. We have another big event coming up in October. It's October 30th, that Sunday. It's called the Mutt Mosey, and it's a Halloween theme, so it's the Howloween Mutt Mosey, and that's at Beyond Stable Farm in Crystal Lake, And so that's a big one coming up. You can register for that on our website. But that's a cool event because you can bring your dog. So lots of, I think those are the main events that we do. But yeah, always saying yes to being out there to be able to meet the community and, you know, support those businesses and organizations that support us by coming out to say hi.
And of course, you can see all those events on your website. You
have
posted, correct?
We post them on our events page, and then we also post those on Facebook and Instagram. So anyone who wants to follow us on any of those platforms can see our events.
Well, we want to thank Sandy Bacino from Young at Heart, the outreach coordinator, for spending time with us today and telling us all about their programs. You've been listening to Huntley Radio, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. We want to thank you all for listening today and look forward to your comments, any questions you may have, and have a great day, folks. Thank you.